time to get thoughts on some important and fun issues. Our guest needs limited introduction. Duck fans have him for well over a decade to keep us wired into Oregon football and more. He is the editor-in-chief of GoDucks.com on Twitter at DuckFootball. Rob Mosley joins us from the Bay Area. Rob, how are things?
Things are great. A little hazy down here, but nothing those of us in the Willamette Valley didn't get used to 6 or 8 weeks ago.
And for you, obviously, going to the Bay Area, it's always a little beyond work. So have you had a chance to do anything family fun or personal fun?
Absolutely. I'm at the house I grew up in right now, out on the back porch talking to you. So, yeah, getting to see my mom, so my brother, my nephew and nieces, all that, my sister-in-law. So, yeah, been able to catch up. Got down here for basketball media days Tuesday night and did the women's basketball media day Wednesday, the men Thursday, and today I have a chance to just hang out and catch up with some people. So that's been really nice.
So aside from talking to me, it's been really fun. All right, I'm with you.
This is the highlight of the day.
You know, I want to start with MLB because a year ago it was the Dodgers who survived the five-game series against Washington. And then, now the Cubbies grind it out against the Nats. L.A. lies in wait. You're a big Dodger fan. You know, save that weird streak. Dodgers been the best team all year. So what's your gut telling you about their chances with their rotation set? And the Cubs may be scrambling a little bit.
Well, my expectation is that the disappointment of losing will only be that much deeper because the expectations are now so high. This is a franchise that can't seem to figure it out at this time of year. And I'm at the point now where they've got to prove otherwise. Unfortunately, it's pretty disheartening. I trust Kershaw. I just don't really trust any of the guys behind him. And you got to have pitching this time of year. And it's just Wood and Hill and those guys will have their moments, but I just don't know if I can rely on it enough to be that confident right now. I mean, obviously the Cubbies are in a strange spot after that game last night, and what an ugly game that was. But again, I just, you know, I'll believe it when I see it when it comes to the Dodgers.
You know, we were talking the other day about the difference between a regular season and a postseason among the major sports we follow. In football, it just seems like every game matters so much. March Madness is that. It's wild. You know, the NBA, NHL, just the pace and the athleticism could be entertaining every night. But MLB, is it me or just, man, once the playoffs start, it is just so much more intense.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, those one-game wild card games, I mean, say what you want about the format, and maybe there should be more teams, less games, and maybe that series, you know, maybe it's a little unfair having your season come down to a game, but how awesome are those? I mean, those are awesome. The drama is so high. And then that's how you appreciate a game like the one last night. Like, you know, if you're a baseball purist, it was not well played. You know, it was pretty sloppy all over the place, but what that made for was such drama because, you know, it was the swings back and forth and, you know, looking like there'd be a rally at the end and then cut short by bad base running, but also a heads-up play by the catcher. You know, I just, it was enthralling to watch, even if sometimes it wasn't the cleanest, most well-executed of baseball games.
No, it was a riot. I loved it. Of course, I had no rooting interest. Right. We continue.
That does make it a little easier.
Yeah, it sure does. Talking with Rob Mosley, who beyond Duck Football also wired into Kelly Graves and the women's hoop program off an historic season. I mean, they're off an Elite Eight run. Almost everybody's back. He's got an outstanding reputation nationally, regardless of how they are viewed. How logical is it, Rob, to think that the now looks awesome, but he and his people have really put down a foundation that might really equal long-term success?
Oh, yeah, it's amazing. You know, they put so much into their, you know, their first recruiting class, the one that yielded Ruthie Hebert, who's, you know, and Sabrina Ionescu, obviously. But, you know, they got six or seven players out of that class. But then it's not like they put all their eggs in that basket because, you know, the freshmen that are coming in now look like impact players. You know, they're still high after impact players in future classes. You know, the cupboard's not going to be bare, that's for sure. This is going to be an interesting year. Just coming off that Elite Eight year, the expectations are going to be so high. You know, I almost worry it's almost going to be kind of a no-win situation. Like, you know, it's going to be Final Four or bust. And that question came up. You know, it's who would have thought 2-3 years ago this would happen? But that question came up at Media Day Wednesday. Are you guys already talking about the Final Four as a goal? And Sabrina Ionescu just shot it right down. No. But that is externally, hey, if you go to the Elite Eight and everybody comes back, you should make the Final Four, right? I mean, I could see how a women's basketball fan in Connecticut or SEC country would just say, oh, well, that's probably going to be the case. That's probably the expectation. So it's going to be a really challenging year for them for managing those expectations and trying to build on that run because everybody's going to be expecting them to do that. I look more at maybe next year where really all the pieces come together because, you know, for as great as it was, the run this past postseason felt a little premature. But hey, you know, maybe this is a team that can just be a year or two ahead of schedule all the way along and they can, you know, just build on that this postseason.
Now, you mentioned you were at Media Day, and I thought you had a hysterical tweet about Sabrina, who kind of took the entire gathering through the pronunciation of her name. We've had her on. She just floors me. I know the cliche is wise beyond her years, but she's been an elite player since early in high school. She's been in the national spotlight. How big a reason is that maybe she's that comfortable with the media, along with the fact that she seems to take such joy in playing this game, that she's so at ease?
Yeah, it was interesting. Actually, I was chatting with her dad later that day back at the hotel, kind of reflecting on the evening and all that had gone on and that moment in particular. And he was saying, you know, the irony is that she was, when she was growing up, she wasn't that outgoing. That she was a little withdrawn. She was pretty quiet. But, you know, around the time, it sounds like, about middle school going into high school, you know, some folks sat her down and said, hey, you know, given the kind of player you are, there's going to be a lot of attention on you. You're going to have to get comfortable with this. And, you know, how impressive that at a young age she was able to process that and kind of accept it and make some adjustments in the way she handled that attention. Because, yeah, I mean, she just took over the room Wednesday. It was remarkable. I mean, a room full of adults. She's, you know, 19 years old or whatever. Somebody asks her to pronounce her name, and instead of just repeating it back and moving on to another question, she immediately says, hey, okay, everybody all together, and leads the room through syllable by syllable, and then all together, and, you know, hey, nice job, you got it. And it just, you know, she's a puppeteer just playing the room like it's one big marionette. And it was just, it just reflects how good of a leader she is, how genuine a person she is, just the charisma. I mean, you can see why. And we saw it last year, game in, game out. People want to play with her and compete with her and compete for her, and you see why.
Three more years, too.
Yeah.
Let's get to some football as we continue with Rob Mosley. I am Braxton Burmeister. I don't know how realistic it was to think a guy who a week earlier never played to beat the number 11 team in the country. I thought he showed, I'm going to call him, flashes. He belonged, multiple good moments. We talked with Jorgie. He talked about his athleticism. Now, you see him in practice. From how hard the guys react to him, to his skill set. So let's be optimists. What is encouraging about Braxton moving forward?
Well, I think what's to be encouraged by is he's a really competitive guy, and he wants to win. And, you know, we've seen that in comments from coaches from the day he got here about how hard he's prepared. You know, mentally, he's gone about things exactly the right way since he got here, you know, even though he was in a backup role and a third string role coming into this fall, you know, getting his nose in the playbook and trying to learn everything. But there's just a huge step from processing things on an iPad to processing it in practice and then on the field. And so, you know, you can only give him, you know, small chapters of the playbook here and there and expect him to be able to execute it. You know, so the offense is limited and he's, you know, limited by what he's been able to practice, and that shows too. And I do think, yeah, some of the stuff you saw with him throwing on the move and making quick decisions and getting the ball out, he can do that. The ability's there. It's just getting comfortable at this level, getting comfortable reading defenses. You know, I do think stuff outside the pocket, you know, works well for him like it did for Vernon Adams, because neither one of those guys is the tallest guy. So, you know, it's what last week was something, a starting point and something to build on, and it was a really tough test. It was, you know, we remember Justin Herbert having to make his debut against Washington last year, his starting debut. You know, probably not a real fair scenario for either one of those guys, but moves that had to be made for different reasons. And here we are. So it's something to build on, and, you know, as long as there's improvement, I mean, that's all you can really ask for from him at this point.
Now, coming in, we knew Charles Nelson, in essence, was the only wideout with more than token experience. Dylan Mitchell seemed on his way to be a solid weapon. Then they got hurt, and Burmeister goes into his first start shorthanded. With a full game under his belt, plus the addition of that duet, is it logical to expect that, you know, we'll see that improvement productivity-wise? Because those seem like pretty big factors.
Yeah, no, I mean, the return of the two probably most veteran best receivers on the team is no small thing. You know, Charles Nelson is such a safety valve. I mean, the connection he and Herbert had was just uncanny. But his ability to attack them underneath coverages over the middle of the field on shorter routes and turn them into big plays. You know, we saw without him, it was either kind of, you know, run the ball, throw screens, or throw over the top. There wasn't, you know, there wasn't that ability to have somebody underneath get separation and catch the ball, either because, you know, you had guys who weren't quite that explosive or who were that explosive and weren't as dependable as receivers. You know, Charles is a mix of both. And so if he's available, that's a huge safety valve underneath for Braxton Burmeister to get the ball out quick, avoid the pass rush, and get it in the hands of somebody who can do something with it. By the same token, Dylan Mitchell's a guy who can win a 50-50 ball better probably than anybody else on the team. You know, that was so valuable, you know, with Darren Carrington's ability to do that, that was lost. Dylan Mitchell, I don't know if it's quite that at that level, but, you know, he can go up and win a ball. And for somebody like Braxton Burmeister, who's, you know, the precision isn't quite there like it will be in the next 2-3 years, if he can just put a ball in the area that Dylan Mitchell can go make a play on, that would be huge. You know, the fact that Stanford's going to be missing a couple defenders for the first half because of those targeting calls last week maybe opens things up a little bit more. But I do think ultimately this game is going to come down to the run game both ways. You know, can Oregon establish the run against a Stanford defense that I don't think is quite the vintage of the last few years? And can they possibly find a way to limit Bryce Love? He's going to get carries of 5 and 6 yards, but you got to keep him from turning those into 30, 40, 50-yard carries.
Final question for Rob Mosley, GoDucks.com, kind of along the lines of what you just said with the implementation of the up-tempo. I think we grew accustomed on the offensive line to seeing rotations, a starting five, maybe 8-9 guys getting in. And I know there were blowouts sometimes, so you empty the depth chart. This year, it seems more the big five and maybe one, you know, the trio of red shirts from last year, plus a healthy Crosby and Pizarcek. In your observations and what the conversations you've had with Coach Cristobal, what are we seeing there?
Yeah, I think he just really trusts those guys and isn't going to make a change unless he feels like he absolutely has to and hasn't felt like he absolutely has to. I mean, for most of this season, I think he's in his mind, Doug Brenner and Brady Aiello have been, you know, not quite on par maybe with the starting five, or else they'd be in that group, obviously, but close to that group. And if he had to go to Brenner or Aiello, he'd be comfortable doing so. And I still think at least Brady Aiello is in that consideration, and I don't say that only because he's a fellow Wakalanis High School grad. he gets worked in a lot of different places in practice, even at guard sometimes, where I feel like that's a guy Mario Cristobal feels like he could go to. But, just, you know, I think it's just, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. He just feels like those five guys are working well together. And, you know, despite some of the issues with penalties that, you know, weren't all on them last week, that those are the guys to stick with. So, you know, he knows. I mean, he quoted the number of snaps they've taken as a group to the exact number the other day in an interview. So he knows their workload, and you can bet he's trying to analyze, you know, how much they can handle and whether that number's too high or not. And he's got a lot riding on that decision, obviously, so he'll do what he thinks is best. But it certainly has been striking and a departure from what we used to see. I mean, we basically would almost see 7 starters, it felt like, some years. But it's been the starting five start to finish for the most part these last few weeks, for sure.
All right. Hey, Rob, way to get a plug in for your old high school. I like that. Follow Rob at Duck Football on Twitter, GoDucks.com. He's the editor in chief. Really appreciate your time, Rob. Go enjoy your family. Enjoy the ball game and travel safe back to Eugene.
Appreciate it. We're going to try to hit Cal Washington State tonight, so hopefully we'll be able to see it through the haze at Memorial Stadium.
Oh, yeah, that's another joy to keep an eye on. Hey, always Absolutely. Appreciate your time, Rob. Enjoy the weekend.
Take it easy.